He's pretty amazing. Amen. Guess what? Now we need to establish who we are. And today we're going to talk about some things that are very important in our lives and important in this church. We're so glad that you are here today. We have a pastor that plans his sermons a year in advance, which is really, really cool. This month is taking flight. I had no idea he would do that. He has left the building. He's not around. He's blaming this child on this. But anyway, Tim is standing in the back, and if you're guest today, our senior lead pastor is Tim, and he's back there, but he has been nurturing a new baby and just being an awesome dad, and it's been a great experience. A couple things I want to begin with. Because of a gracious, anonymous donation, we have new cameras, and it might not mean anything to you. You might not notice that, but our online presence has been enhanced greatly because of this gift, and another individual bought a new computer for the church. Again, you might not notice that, but the songs are quicker. Everything's working better because what we had in the past was old. And I'm really grateful that there are people sensitive to needs and respond accordingly. I'm also going to remind you that if you saw the newsletter, we're offering divorce care. And it's a great opportunity and a great class for people that have gone through a divorce or are going through a divorce to come together with like-minded people and just learn. And so if you're interested in that, I hope that you'll sign up for that. And as you came in, you should have gotten a sermon note. I hope that you have a copy of that. My philosophy is really simple. When you see it, hear it, read it, and write it, you get it better. And so I'm going to give a lot of content today, and I'm going to give a lot of things that I want you just to remember. If you have your notes and you don't have a pen, I put the answers in the back. So at home this afternoon, you can fill out the answers that you missed, but I want to encourage you to follow along with what we've got planned today. If I would have had what I had planned to have, this is what would have happened right here in this service. A man would have come up on the stage, his hand held out like this, and on his arm was going to be an eagle. And he was going to let it go, and it was going to fly around this building and come right back to his arm and land. I don't know if you've ever seen an eagle up close, but it was just that close to happening, and then there was a conflict in a schedule, and so the eagle didn't show today, and I'm so disappointed. We think visually as people, and today what I want us to understand is that you and I need to be eagles. And if we're going to be what God wants us to be, and if we're going to do what He wants us to do, we're going to have to fly and act like eagles. They're fearless. They're fearless animals. They're very tenacious. They don't eat dead things. An eagle eats only what they catch at the moment. They prepare for training. There's 60 different species of eagles. There's a species of eagle that every 7 years goes to a cliff, grinds down their claws, pulls out their wing feathers, and sits hopelessly and helplessly on that ledge as the feathers grow back and as the claws grow back, and they become a very, very strong animal, but every 7 years they become worthless. Isn't that amazing? And today, I want us to think about being an eagle. They're amazing at building a nest. If it weren't illegal, I would have also had an eagle's nest here. But I decided I wanted to see my grandkids instead of spending time in jail. So I left the eagle nest because I had one spotted. And I thought, you know, if I just take it down, nobody'd notice. But you're all here, so I guess you would notice. But the bottom line is this. When an eagle is building a nest, the male starts gathering thorns. And there is a whole layer of thorns that is the base of that nest. And then they start bringing twigs, and they intertwine those twigs together and absolutely make this incredible, massive nest out of twigs and sticks. It's just absolutely fascinating to me. And guess what they put in there now? Thorns. Jagged thorns. And then they go and they get grass and weeds and moss and start filling that nest with that grass, moss, and weeds. And then they pull out feathers and they finish the nest with their own feathers. Now, I want you to remember that because in a few minutes we're going to talk again about that. But how they build a nest is absolutely fascinating. And in your notes, what I put is just this idea. We've been talking about taking flight. We've been talking about going to places that we have never been. We've been talking about doing things that maybe we've never, ever done before. And I'm going to tell you, through the leadership of Pastor Tim, the elders and the staff have been praying and working on what we call a vision script that you're going to have opportunities to hear about in small groups in the next few weeks, as well in some special meetings. But here's the deal, my friends. New Life is 20 years old this week, or this year. You know what the average lifespan of an eagle is? Read your notes. 20 years. We have a choice. The choice is simple. We're going to go on stronger in the next 20 years, or we're going to try to maintain what we've had. And trying to maintain what we've had and trying to maintain what we've done will not work. And so today, one of the things that I want to encourage us to do is to start preparing to take flight. To start doing some things that maybe we've not thought about before and start being what God wants us to be and just simply take flight. And if we're going to do that, there's five things that I want you to think about as we prepare for the journey. And number one is to take flight, we must prepare for the journey. In Luke, the 14th chapter, verses 28 through 30, the writer says this, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see to begin mocking him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" You and I need to prepare for the journey. There's five things that we need to do to prepare for the journey. Number one is pray and then plan. Pray and then plan. Go ahead and do the planning meetings. After all, failing to plan is planning to fail. I'll get it here. But just don't brainstorm, pray storm. The best plans are birthed in the presence of God. And if we're going to move forward as a church in the next 20 years, we've got to pray. Number two, you plan, then you pray. We need to plan, then we need to pray. Number three, we need to pray and then listen. We need to pray and then listen. Number four, we need to listen and then act. And the last thing we need to do is we need to act by taking flight. What is the common word in all five of those? Say it. Pray. 100%. We've spent a lot of time praying. We're going to ask you to spend time praying with us. But if we're going to prepare, the first thing that we've got to do is pray. Fruitful living is impossible without faithful prayer. The purpose of prayer is not to give orders to God. The purpose is to get orders from God. And I want to encourage us and remind us of the power of prayer. Many years ago, I was working in a church in Grove, Oklahoma, and we had half of the city block, and the other half of a city block was an elderly couple with a mammoth house and a huge yard. And I said to the elders, we need to go over there and give them $1,000 and ask them to give us first rights to the property if they ever decide to sell. Why? Because our church needed more space and we needed to start preparing for the future. After we did that, a couple months, the old man died and the lady moved back to California immediately. And everybody at the board was saying, yeah, great Siemens, we just lost $1,000. And anyway, we had this little banding forth, going back and forth. 9 months later, a lawyer called me and said, I'd like to talk to you and the chairman of the board. And I went to his office and he said to us, so-and-so has left you their property along with $1,000 check. And if we would not have prepared and prayed, we would have had to buy that property. You're going to think like an eagle, or you're going to flounder like a bird. And if you and I are going to do and be what God wants us to be, and the last 20 years have been awesome, but I'm going to tell you, my friends, the next 20 years is going to be awesomer. And you and I get to be a part of that. Prayer is the difference between appointments and divine appointments. Prayer is the difference between good ideas and God ideas. Prayer is the difference between the favor of God and the luck of the draw. Prayer is the difference between possible and impossible. And prayer is the difference between the best we can do and the best God can do. I want to remind all of us that there's no victory. No victory has ever been won apart from prayer and praise. And the key that I want to leave you with is really simple. Never underestimate the power of a single prayer. If we're going to prepare for the flight, the second thing is we need to have vision like an eagle. An eagle can see 4 to 5 times further than any other any person with perfect vision. 4 to 5 times. And I, in your notes, I put way more detail to that. But it's amazing to me how they can see. It's just amazing to me. I want you to see how an eagle blinks. Watch.
Right in on him. Yeah. I think that was a blink.
Yeah.
Ugh. Let's have a look at that. Oh, that's weird.
Do you want to see this?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, ready?
That is crazy. Oh, my God.
Isn't that amazing?
He actually pauses. He's like, he's closed.
That's how they blink.
Oh, no,
that's
and okay. Then he looks like a dinosaur.
That's just one at a time.
Oh, so
right there, my friends. And nobody can say there isn't a God.
It's mental. And they don't even close and open at the same time.
And what's fascinating to me is how they can see.
It comes around.
And what I want to encourage us is Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And if we're going to have vision, if we're going to see like an eagle, if we're going to become what God wants us to become, first of all, visualize the future, but don't focus on the past. The future will motivate you. Visualize on the future. Secondly, identify opportunities. Don't talk about obstacles. And if you and I will do that, the obstacles will not talk, the opportunities will. Seek God. Don't seek answers. And the answers will seek you. Invite others. Don't go it alone. And others will invite others. If we're going to have the vision of an eagle, opt to win. Don't think defeat. And the wins, small or big, will energize you. And last, nurture change. Don't seek comfort, and the changes will bless you. Can I just be honest right now? Say yes. We don't like to change. We don't. We're going to sing a song at the end, How Great Thou Art. I grew up singing that song with an organ, not drums and guitars and all the other stuff. But you know what? The message is still the same. And you and I have got to be open to change. Yes or yes? And I want to remind us that there's going to be some things at church that we do because we believe God is leading us to do those things that we might not like. Is that okay? Yes. But it will never happen unless we have the vision of an eagle. A bird that is so high in the sky and sees things and goes right towards those things that are just, they're a long ways away. And it's not easy for us to predict the future. In fact, it's impossible for us to predict the future. It's not easy for us to see things that we can be doing that we're not doing today. But if we have the vision of an eagle, God is going to be able to do some amazing things in our lives. But it will never happen if we see like a bird. The key is simply this. When God gives a vision, He always makes a provision. The third thing that is so important if you and I are going to take flight is that we work together. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But in fact, God has placed the parts of His body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? Can you imagine if every one of us in this room were an eyeball? Now stick with me because this is pretty deep. We're all eyeballs. And we just roll into church. And we just sit around and look at each other. And then after a few minutes or an hour or so, we just roll back home. Wouldn't that be exciting? Or if we were all feet, we just walk into the building, stand around, nobody's speaking, nobody's seeing, nobody's hearing. No. And yet, you and I are a part of the body. He goes on and says this, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there will be no such division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and one another, you're a part of it. Several years ago, I was a part of a church where we had Sunday school, and we had electives. And I would always teach. I was president of a college then, and I would always teach during the winter schedule because my schedule was so that I could do that. I had 187 people in that class, and we met in the gymnasium of our church, which we called God's Family Room. And so we met there, and I was trying to think, how can I get everybody in that class to understand that they are important and they are needed? So I had Barbara lay down on butcher paper, and I drew her body, and then I cut it up into 187 body parts, and I sent a letter to every member of that class and said, we're going to put this body together on Sunday, and if you're not here, the body will be incomplete. God blessed that. It was the only time 187 was in class. The only time. And it was amazing to me to hear people that have been in the church forever saying to me, I didn't realize that if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, the body is incomplete. Nobody in this room can say, I'm not important. Nobody. Nobody. When you are missing, our body is complete or incomplete. When you are missing, we are not functioning at full speed. And I want that to motivate us, and I want that to help us understand that God has lots of, not everybody's going to stand up here. Not everybody is going to be singing up here. Not everybody's going to be teaching in class. Not everybody is going to be doing whatever other people are doing. But the bottom line is every one of us in this room need to do what God has gifted us to do. Amen? And when we do, we're working together. When you work together, there's going to be misunderstandings. When you work together, there's going to be conflict. When you work together, not everybody's going to understand. But God has given ways to deal with those times and those issues. And it's so important that you and I understand we're body parts. You want me just to be gut level honest? When you criticize somebody at church, you're criticizing me. Because that's a part of my body. You missed it first service. I was walking up the steps and I tripped. Because I pulled a hamstring. And my leg just wasn't working right, and I didn't go down, but almost did. And there's a part in my body right now that's going, ouch. And there's other parts going, we're here. And the body works together when there is an issue. So what's this mean, working together? It means this: each person claiming new life as their church home must appreciate their God-given role in the mission of the church. If you and I are claiming this to be our home, there is a role that every one of us need to fulfill. Secondly, no one can make you feel inferior unless you let them. I'm going to park on this one for a minute. You and I are either in the presence of somebody we can teach or somebody we can learn from. Period. Nobody in this room should ever be intimidated by anybody. Ever, ever, ever. You can teach or you can learn. And that's the only two kinds of people you'll be around. That's why we can work together. If you don't do what God needs you to do, the body is incomplete. If you don't do what you need to do, the body is incomplete. If you don't do what God needs you to do, it's a protest against God. So, how do we share joys? Together. How do we share sorrows? Say it. Together. How do we share victories? How do we share defeats? Together. We're in this together. That's why taking flight is so important, because we're not doing it by ourselves, we're doing it together. We have the obligation and the privilege to care for one another. And the key is really simple. If we do the little things like they are big things, then God will do the big things like they're little things. If we're going to take flight, number four, fly straight into a storm. This has always fascinated me about eagles. In a hurricane, they'll fly right into the eye of a storm. Tornadoes, they'll fly right towards the funnel. And when they go in there, the force of the wind and all the stuff that's going on the outside of that storm forces the eagles up through the storm, where the air is clear and calm and smooth. I want to suggest to us that if we're going to take flight, there are going to be some storms. We're either going to run from the storm or we're going to fly right into it. And if we're going to act like an eagle, we fly directly into the storm. Fact: nothing is permanent in this wicked world, not even our storms. Fact: storms are often the tools by which God fashions us for better things. Fact: worry doesn't take away tomorrow's storms. It takes away today's peace. Fact: sometimes God delivers us from our storms. Sometimes He delivers us through our storms. So if you and I are going to be bold like an eagle, the key is really simple. Quit talking to God about your problem and start talking to your problem about God. One more thought from the eagle. Number five, they stir the nest. When an eaglet gets to the point where they're ready to start flying, here's what the mother and the dad eagle do. And they eagles mate for life, just as a little piece of information. Here's what they do, which is just fascinating to me. They take out the straw, the grass, and the feathers, the moss. What's there? Thorns. You know what baby eaglets don't like? Thorns. You know what they start doing? They start crawling up to the edge of the nest. And when that mother knows it's time, Conservation people say that she will pick up that eaglet, put it on her back, and fly up into the sky, turn over, and let the eaglet flutter down, and will swoop underneath the eagle, lands on her back. Back up, turn over, flutter down, catches them. And they say that they will do that 7 to 9 times. And if that eaglet doesn't learn to fly in that amount of time, whatever she gives, they let that eaglet fall to its death, and the mother never goes back to that spot. The difference between an eagle and God is He puts us on His wings. He takes us to heights we've never been. And when we flutter and start falling, He catches. I want to suggest to you, my friends, that it is time for us as a church to stir the nest. It is time for us to start thinking differently and start doing differently. And in our lives, you and I can get very comfortable and very content. And I believe as we start moving forward and as we start thinking, what does God really want us to do? There's going to be a little stirring. Deuteronomy 32, verses 10 to 12. Moses said this as he was dying at the end of his life. In a desert land, he found him in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wing to catch them and to carry them aloft. The Lord alone led him. No foreign god was with him. Here's the key. If you want to see God move, make the move. So it gets down to this. We have a choice. We can scratch like a chicken or soar like an eagle. It's our choice. In our efforts to make Jesus known, do we want to scratch or do we want to soar? I want people to share heaven with me. I know that you do too. And if we're going to really make Jesus known in this community, it's never going to happen by scratching. When you find community through a small group, you want to be a part of a group that scratches or soars. When you discover your purpose going through our Discover class, you want to scratch or do you want to soar? I know my purpose. Doesn't make me anybody special, but I'm going to tell you, I know my purpose. And my purpose is not to survive. God has given me a purpose, and every morning I'm going to get out of bed, and to the best of my ability, I'm going to fulfill that purpose. You have a purpose. You're going to scratch, or you're going to soar? I want to live the mission. And we've got Love Week coming up. Are we going to scratch? Or are we going to soar? And my friends, I have a simple goal. I want to live my life giving it away. If you and I are going to soar together, we've got to prepare for the journey. We have to have eagle-eye vision. We need to work together. We need to face the storms and the challenges head on. And we need to stir the nest. The past several months, the elders and the staff have been working on what we're calling a vision script. That's going to be presented to small groups, and it's going to be presented in special meetings that Tim will invite you to attend. To just talk about where we believe God is taking New Life in the next 3 years. I hope that you start anticipating taking flight with us. I hope you start thinking about what we could do as a church that we've never done. I hope that you and I start looking as eagles look at the future and vision and start doing some incredible things. And it will happen if we'll pray. It will happen if we have great vision. It will happen if we work together. Yes, we'll face storms, but we're going to fly right into them. And in the process, we're going to stir the nest. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 31 says this, "But they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint." It's time to fly. It's time to fly together. It's time to do some things that God is planning for us to do. What a great time to be a part of New Life. And what a great time to be His kids. Let's take flight and watch Him work.